Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from Long Island, New York, the best wrestling podcast in the world, Joseph Crush, Nikki Noodles, Bad News Canali, and Nick Jersey, the Wrestling Journal Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 61 of the Wrestling Journal Podcast, brought to you by WrestleBuzz at WrestleBuzz on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, at WrestleBuzz with 3 Z's on Twitter. What's going on, everybody? Joseph Crush here, joined by my beautiful people, NJ3. What's going on, buddy?
Let me talk to you, all right? It's a fact of life. We love wrestling, and we're going to talk it.
We do, absolutely. Nikki Noodles, Big Swole. What's up, buddy?
Big, I don't know about Big Swole, but Little Swole. What's up, boys?
Welcome back.
Big Swole sitting right here, baby.
Oh,
shit. Let's go.
Good thing. Bad News, Tom Canale. Welcome back to Bad News Week.
Again. I got a lot of bad news this week.
Just when you have a nice, smooth week of wrestling, Friday comes.
You hit it right back in the biscuits.
Yeah. Just, it's kind of par with the course now at WWE, but we'll get into it. If you haven't already, download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, anywhere you can download podcasts. If you're on Apple, give us that review and 5-star rating. And before we get into wrestling, a word from our sponsor, Nerd Focus. Ooh, we needed that this week, boys. Long week. I don't know about you guys. I had a long week this week.
It was tough. Tough to get through.
Yeah. It's getting a little muggy out. It's getting a little gross. I need that extra energy, extra bit of energy. Nerd Focus, the best energy drink in the world. Proven. We've had it. We love it. Noodles are drinking it right now. Is that blue or green? What do you got?
I got blue, baby. Blue,
oh, nice. Sugar-free?
It makes everything a little easier.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's why he's swole today. And every day going forward after he drinks Nerd Focus.
Well, you know what? I'll be catching Jersey, and I'll be catching up the 24-inch pythons of Hollywood Hogan.
Oh,
hey,
Jersey, you're at like 21 dreams. Right now? You got like 21?
21 and a half.
No, not bad.
Not bad.
Centimeters, though, right? Not inches.
No inches.
Oh, okay. Now, if you check out our links in our bio, in the WrestleBuzz bio, you'll see a link to click for nerdfocus.com. Click that. Use that. And then use code ND20 at checkout. You get 20% off. Also, if you want to buy 2 cases, you get free shipping of your order. Listen, they've been around with us for the past few weeks. Solid stuff. We drink it every day. I re-upped. I'm all back. I'm re-upped on Nerd Focus. I got the blue and the green. So I'm looking to do a little a Nerd Focus cocktail. Mixing the green and the blue, making a little purple or whatever the color. We didn't figure that out last week.
Yeah, so I forgot what it was. Yeah. My phone decided to crap out.
That's all right. And you know what? It's going to be good. Nerd Focus is the best energy drink in the world. Helps you think better, perform better. It's not just for podcasting, right? It's for everything. Workout,
life,
sports, life.
Swole mind, swole body.
There you go.
There you go.
I think blue and green gives you yellow, though. If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know how that would make sense. How blue and green make yellow?
I don't know.
I think it makes purple, dude.
You think so?
I have no idea. We're going to leave that up to the people, and then hopefully.
Yeah, right into the show.
Yeah. Nerd Focus, like I said, link in the bio, code ND20 at checkout, and enjoy it, people. It's a great drink. Also, Paper Champion. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Your boy is climbing back up to the top. Let's go. I'm 15 points behind this dumbass Jersey here. I'm catching.
Wow.
A lot of smack.
Fantasy gets hostile.
It does, bro. You know how it is. 65-point week from the Wrestle Buzzards. Had a big week from Jimmy Uso. I had a big week from Alexa and Big E. Damian Priest hasn't been around. He got the cut. And we'll go into who I picked up later because it's a return. 65 points. I'm back. I think I'm in fifth place. Jersey, you're in fourth place. You know, still stellar week. A nice week.
Well, Jey Uso needs to show up.
Yeah.
I don't know why he doesn't show up anymore.
Can't believe the guy can't show up to work.
No, it's the craziest thing. But you know what? It's the society we live in, right? You don't show up and get paid.
Do you think there's something behind that? I kind of wanted to talk about that. He didn't show up last night, and there was really no, unless I missed it, there was really no.
I just think, honestly, I just think he's taking like time off and using it as a little storyline, just giving a couple weeks off just to kind of.
It's going to fit the storyline perfectly, though, because they're starting it. It starts off pretty damn good right now.
Yeah. Tommy, Team BNC, you dropped Bray. You picked up Riker.
Yeah.
How'd it go? How'd it work out for you first week?
Well, Riker, it might work out next week because him and Elias are going to be in a strap match or something. So,
yeah.
Hopefully that helps out. So, I mean, hey, better than with the goose egg I've been freaking for the whole freaking time so far. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, Bray will be back soon. Like I said, thepaperchampion.com. No, he's not coming back in September. Thepaperchampion.com. Fantasy wrestling done right. If you want to follow along, you could check out our standings and follow our teams. I'm the Wrestle Buzzards. NJ3's the Click, I believe. And
that's right,
Bad News Canale is Team BNC. Nicky Noodles does not have a team because he's a coward and didn't sign up, but it's okay next year.
A coward. Wow.
Thepaperchampion.com. Fantasy wrestling done right. Tom, oh, not yet. Tom, we'll save you for the next segment. Joe Money question of the week. Guys, if you're not familiar with Joe Money question of the week, it's our good friend Joe Money throws us a question every week, kind of not on topic with, or sometimes not on topic with, what's going on currently in the world of wrestling. And let's see what he has this week for us.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Well, my question for the week, I mean, I feel like it's obvious. We all know what happened 25 years ago this week. Stone Cold Steve Austin became Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, in that span of 25 years, what's your favorite Stone Cold moment? It could be anything. Let me hear it. I want to know what that rattlesnake said, or what match, or what he did that made you just love him so much, because he still is probably the greatest character, greatest character of all time. Can't wait to hear it. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Money, making major moves, man, ain't a damn thing funny. Pimpin' hood rats, the Playboy bunnies. They see the.
All right. Boys, as you know, as Joe said, the 25th anniversary of Stone Cold's Austin 316 speech at the King of the Ring.
Paying homage to the GOAT.
Got it.
25 years, insane.
Yeah, wild. I feel so old.
Mm-hmm.
You look great, though. It must be the nerd focus.
It must be. Now, NJ3.
Ooh.
It was a hard question, right? A lot of picks. We'll let you go first. Okay. Your favorite moment from Stone Cold.
Jersey, you had to narrow it down from like probably like 100.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like a thousand moments.
So many. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Every moment was a moment with Stone Cold. But I'm only going to give one just because I want to hear you guys give yours. I think I want to say it was right after WrestleMania 14, I think, when he won the title. And he hit Vince McMahon with that very first stunner. It blew my mind because you don't. You know what I mean? Like he put his hands on like the boss, and like, you know, growing up as like in the early 90s to, you know, as, you know, Vince McMahon started becoming Vince McMahon character. He played that perfect boss that you just love to hate because he was just so relatable because he was a piece of crap. Played the character good. We also knew about some behind the scenes stuff. So to be able to see like our guy, the blue collar guy, you know, give the boss a stunner, the very first one. I mean, I don't really remember an instance where someone got that physical, at least in recent memory. Well, not now, obviously, before, back when.
Yeah.
But they got physical with Vince McMahon like that, like on camera. So I just thought that was just like a, oh my God moment. Like, did he really just stun Vince McMahon?
Yeah, it was the start of, you could argue, like one of the greatest feuds in professional wrestling history, man. I mean, that.
Yeah,
it is. Sure. It's certainly the most important.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So
definitely the most important. Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
On top of being like a groundbreaking moment, it kind of made wrestling to what it was today.
It was the beginning of pop culture, really, and the stamp of how wrestling can be so impactful in the world. It would not be what it is today if it wasn't for those two.
Yeah,
plain and simple. Absolutely. And it saved WWE or F, or however you want to call it. But without that, it might have been over at that point.
Could have saved professional wrestling. You never know. You know, as a whole. Great choice there, Jers. Bad news.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Stone Cold guy. We know. There's a lot to choose from.
There's a lot to choose from, but I think my all-time favorite was he was out, I think it was after he got hit by the car by Rikishi, whatever, he had to get neck surgery, and he came back and he was messing with D-Generation X all night. Like, he was doing all this crazy stuff, and then The Rock came out. I remember it was on SmackDown, and The Rock was saying, no, I don't look like Stone Cold. I don't talk like Stone Cold, but he pointed to the Titantron, and Stone Cold was there. And I remember the whole arena went nuts, and he destroyed the DX Express, and it was just my all-time favorite moment of Stone Cold. It was so good.
Great. Great moment. Noodles, I was going to let you go last, but I'm still flowing.
I want to go last. Go ahead, Joey. Hit us.
All right. I mean, there were so many. I mean, the beer bath, I think, like.
Iconic, legendary.
It's an iconic moment is the given. But I think I think Joe mentioned in the question, like, we can mention matches as well and like stuff like that. I kind of, as a whole, I think the lead up to the WrestleMania 17 match against The Rock with the way with the My Way promo and the heel was it 9? That was 17, right?
19, yeah.
Granted, the outcome, the heel turn kind of made it's a debatable topic of was it the right move or not, but
the worst thing ever to happen in wrestling.
Yeah, so leave outside the outcome of the match, but just the lead up to the match, the My Way promo, the match itself.
It was like, incredible.
I mean, it happened. Something we thought we'd never see, and is that Vince and Stone Cold shaking hands. That was monumental. But what came after that was, we'll leave aside. But I think the lead up to that match and the match itself and the moment was my favorite. I go back and watch that My Way promo probably like twice a week. I'm just kidding. maybe like once in a while, but it's such a great thing. And I wish they would be able to get the copyrights for that so they can play it on the network, but they don't. So you have to go to YouTube and watch it. But
it's definitely the best build ever to a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I think it was great. And two of the most iconic figures in wrestling coming to a head. It was great. Love that.
That was the second time they headlined Mania, though, right? Together?
Yeah.
At that point?
15, 17, and 19, I want to say.
I think that's something like that makes sense.
But that was my pick out of the many of thousands of moments for Stone Cold. But that was it. And Noodles, you're up, buddy. What's up?
Oh man, I mean, we could talk about for hours the Stone Cold.
Yeah. I mean, I think I know your favorite moment. I'm surprised. That's why I didn't say it for me. That's why I left it for you.
Go ahead. Which one did you think it was?
Dude, him and Mike Tyson squaring off. I mean, dude, you're a huge Tyson guy.
I love Tyson, that was awesome.
Pop culture and like wrestling
it was certainly moments. A top 10 for me, for sure. Absolutely.
I figured you're Mike Tyson guy. It's got to be it for him.
that was a damn good one. Cold. That was probably my top five, but I'm going to go with something that I remember vividly and wasn't necessarily a match, but it was one of those moments that gets you jacked up when he came back, he returned from, after the invasion, and he came back WWF guys were getting pounded, and for about 3 minutes he came in the ring and was just hitting everyone with chairs, pool cues, stunners galore, and it was just like a game changer. And I was just incredibly jacked up after that. Like, I love that shit when he would come in and just clean house and just beat everybody up. That was, to me, I remember that one pretty vividly, and I very enjoyed that one very much. And when he came back and helped Stephanie, when Undertaker put Stephanie on the cross, that was pretty iconic as well.
Or what about any good? I mean, just throwing any return for Stone Cold, but like when he came back, when he helped Mankind win the title too. I mean,
that was cool.
That was awesome.
That crowd pop was just, dude.
Another big one is when he returned. It was right after WrestleMania 2000 when Triple H was just on unbelievable runs and just going over every single time. And he was so pissed off that he would always win return the title. But at Backlash, when he wrestled The Rock and he came back and he hit Triple H with the chair. And The Rock finally went over and won the title for the first time in a long time. It kind of put a little end to the Triple H run that was just absolutely amazing.
I think it was great. Like, he'd be out for what felt like years, but as a kid, but like he was only like a few weeks because not seeing Stone Cold, like week after week was kind of like, where is he? But when you come back after those couple weeks, just taking time off, I guess, or just doing whatever he's got to do, and then coming out.
He's also like, hurt a lot. He got hurt a lot. He got hurt a lot.
The glass breaks and everyone.
As soon as you heard that, dude, it was everything that you wanted it to be, man. Just no, you couldn't get any more excited as soon as you heard that glass break.
I don't know. Like you get a lot of the kids now and like saying how we defend like the Attitude Era, like it's our life. I mean, like if they lived it, I guarantee they'd be the same way.
Absolutely.
And he was, and Stone Cold was the reason behind that. He's the best of all time. Performer.
Greatest character. Yeah. There's no question.
Let's not go in ring performer, but greatest like overall professional wrestler. Like what professional wrestling is basically like everything all in one. The greatest in my eyes. So
short run, but that was certainly the most impactful.
By hands down. I mean, I don't know. It's very, very good question by Joe Money, as always. Excited.
People today don't understand or don't really understand what the time was like back then either. You know, things have evolved so much over these 25 years that you can't even begin to imagine evolved. What it was like.
Evolved.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. But it's, you know, just go back and watch it. I mean, you gotta, if you live it at a certain age and you understand what life was like back then, man, you'll appreciate it much more. I guarantee it. Stone Cold, the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest. Listen, so we opened up the show with a nice warming topic. And Stone Cold talk is always good, right? We can go on for days about Stone Cold, whole episode on. Bad news. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. It's only been like 2 weeks, right? I mean, it hasn't been that long.
Seems like every month is something.
Yeah, we got some bad news this week. What do you got for us?
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Well, you know, more releases this week, unfortunately, yesterday. And, you know, some pretty big names. I mean, nothing like earth-shattering like the last few times, but some big names. You had, you know, Breezango team, Fandango and Tyler Breeze. Mm. Got the Axe. Ever-Rise, even though, you know, they weren't doing much in NXT, but they were, you know, their characters were funny, you know, they doing their backstage segments and everything. And I don't know if you saw the NXT people are posting on social media, you know, Ever-Rise rules. So I don't think many of them are too happy about that. Then you got, you know, I'm just going to do a few, I'm not going to do all of them. You got the Bollywood Boys, you know, they had their little run with, Jinder Mahal, you know, is like, you know, his cronies, whatever you want to call them.
Please refer to him as the modern day Maharaja. Okay. Proceed.
Yeah, you know, Tony Nese, you know, he had a nice little run at 205 there.
Long Island boy.
Yeah. And this one was very surprising because I thought he had a good thing going with Drake Maverick, Killian Dane, which, you know, I mean, what the hell, man? I mean, they had a good thing going with that little tag team they had going, but it's just, you know. And reports coming out, it wasn't Vince pulling the trigger on this. It was Mr. Nick Khan. So, I mean, I don't know what that's about.
Vince, guy seems like he's got a lot of clout. Pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, you know. I mean, there's a total of 14, but those are the big names. And it's just, you know, it seems like every week someone's getting released or whatever, just – like I said, unless they got something huge planned these next few months, I mean, and it's all for budget reasons, as they say. So, I don't know. Just sucks. Sorry for these people losing their jobs, but unfortunately, that seems to be the norm now in WWE.
Yeah. So, all right. So, the couple things I want to take from that. First of all, it sucks that guys, anyone gets fired. We just said, like Tom just said. You mentioned Nick Khan, though. So, I don't know if you guys saw his quote that he said, or I'll kind of paraphrase it for you. He didn't care about current like storylines they're in, who they're married to, their contracts, doesn't matter. He'll let go of anybody, basically, is what he said.
Nobody is safe in the Nixon's world.
Basically, that's what. So right now, he, according to online, the people on Twitterverse, he is the biggest heel in wrestling at the current moment. Not many people too fond of him saying that. I don't know where they got the quote from. I didn't read into it too much, but it was quoted by like reliable people that's something that he said. Look, Killian Dane's gone, married to Nikki Cross. We get like Aleister Black, not Aleister Black, but like anybody, you've seen he's splitting up people. He doesn't care, basically, is what he's saying.
I just don't understand. Like, there's no reason in the world for him to say something like that, though. You make your decisions, and I mean, that's fucking bullshit. My personal opinion.
Yeah. So not a good look if that's true. We'll always say allegedly until we hear from the source. But another thing is I don't think we touched on it last week. I'm not sure if we were aware of it last week. Someone else that got fired was a writer that she came out and said this past week on a podcast or some sort of interview that she got hired without zero knowledge of.
She didn't know shit about wrestling.
The WWE product. And she continued to say, try to name wrestlers and called Bobby Lashley, Bobby Ashley. And she's like, I should probably know his name. He is the champion, right? I was like, maybe. I don't know.
Not good.
She came out and said that and she got fired probably for what she said, making looks like she made the WWE look dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So
pretty much
very interesting. NJ3, a lot went on yesterday. It was a Friday.
Yeah.
Some may call it the Future Endeavor Friday. I don't know. We'll leave that up to the IWC, but a couple people left that we were into a couple of these guys. I don't know. Were you Big Ever Eyes guys? I feel like you weren't, but I was.
I mean, I
was getting on board.
I like the fact that they were like a comedic act that wasn't a part of the show. But if you were into like following them on social media, they're always on the NXT Twitter.
Yeah.
So like there's some times where it's nice to get like that additional content outside of the show. You know, we speak about it every week. Like NXT is it for me. Number yes. one, 2 hours of wrestling every week.
Hands, I love
it.
Hands down too.
Yeah. I love it. So I like hands down. I know you guys can't see that. That's actually pretty funny though. So to see two guys that really embrace that kind of like that silly backstage role, took advantage of like the social media, played to their characters, knowing they weren't going to be taken seriously in the ring as the best wrestlers, but just enjoyed what they were doing. That's tough.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you kind of need that once in a while. And it's nice that they weren't taking up screen time from tag teams that you're trying to like actually develop, but they were good. Almost like I like to use the word palate cleanser. If you were, you know, watching all the social media and whatnot, I like they were the pre-show. Like that was funny.
It was
before NXT in your house, they were the pre-show. That's cool. Like that's good stuff. I mean, were they making that much money that you could have maybe saved them and let someone else go? I mean, I don't know. I guess to be argued. But it was tough, you know, to see those guys go and to see anyone go. It's become almost the norm now. I mean, Are they like semi cleaning house in this way to kind of reset the mold of before they kind of go back on the road and really kind of set up a new WWE? I mean, we can argue that it's needed. It just sucks that people's jobs come at the cost of hitting the reset button.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of the 205 Live guys are Daivari, Kurt Stallion, like Tom said, Tony Nese.
Yeah.
So it's NXT and 205 Live seem to be getting the brunt of it this time. Maybe 205 Live's done, like the show itself. I'm not sure. I don't know the direction they're going in. Breezango kind of like it was almost like inevitable with them. I think they had their title
14 years. Fandango. Yeah. 14 years.
Professionals though. Professionals.
Absolutely. Like, they can carry. Yeah.
They're like the perfect guys that like. When you need to tell a story and stuff like that, and you want to put people over, those guys get the job done, man.
Yeah.
Those guys were legit at what they, you know, again, they were never really anything crazy, but they had their role and they played it well.
Yeah.
Dude, and Tyler Breeze, man. I mean, dude, the selfie
funny
stick
shit,
with that.
Funny as shit.
He was Prince Pretty. I mean, like his theme music when he was a solo guy, like those were fun times in NXT. It's not the same NXT as today when he was, you know, doing that stuff, but it was still very enjoyable. I loved his run.
I thought maybe we would have saw more out of Tyler Breeze, like when he the main roster thing was
the furry boots and everything.
Yeah, like, it was great. I actually loved it.
I met Breeze, man. He was cool shit too, man. Super nice guy. Like loved wrestling. Like sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It definitely does. Killian Dane was also like a good big work, like a big guy worker. Him and Drake, I think Tom mentioned, like him and Drake Maverick had like a nice little tag team going, like underdogish tag team that you could root for. But I mean, it just.
They always had matches on NXT. Like they were like a part of the main product for a long time.
Yeah.
And then to just pull the plug on it like that is kind of tough for me anyway.
It's crazy. So I don't know.
I got a question for you guys. Do you guys think with all these cuts and, you know, we presume most of these guys are getting cut for monetary and budgetary reasons and stuff like that. Do you think a lot of that has to do with at least you know, some of these bigger stars that they have, maybe contracts coming up. You know, Jersey alluded to, you know, getting a huge reset here, right? I mean, maybe bringing in new talent down the line, maybe having to pay these guys more to keep some of the bigger talent that they have now. What kind of direction do you think that that plays in, into some of these decisions that they're making? And maybe, you know, trying to get Lesnar coming back, you know, that's not, that's going to be a pretty penny. You know what I mean? That ain't going to come cheap. Well, how do you know when Roman's contract's up or Becky Lynch's contract's up or Seth Rollins's contract's up? Like, they're not going to let those guys go to AEW or anything like that, right? So do you think, because I can't imagine, you know, Jersey was saying, I can't imagine a lot of these guys making tons of money, right? I mean, these are pretty low-level guys. You know, we've seen some leaks on, you know, who makes what. And I remember seeing one time, like, Liv Morgan was making like $85,000. And she's pretty prominent, you know, on the roster. But I can imagine that some of them aren't making anything close to that either.
I think with people are automatically assuming, like, with Cena coming back and because he's been all over Jimmy Fallon, stuff like that, like, basically saying he's going to be back soon. The Rock possibly potentially showing back up. Are they clearing money to get them on board? I don't know. Like, it doesn't, I mean, maybe.
Right, they're not doing anything with these people, right? You are giving them a free check for the most part, right? At the end of the day, because if you're not going to maximize, you know, their abilities or take a chance with somebody new, then I guess it does make sense not to pay somebody, right? I mean, at the end of the day, but at the same time, it's like, you know, if you're not going to give people, you know, opportunities, then really there's no really reason to pay anybody.
So I wanted to tell you, last night I came across this Sean Ross Sapp at Fightful. He has an ongoing, like, resource list that's constantly updated of, like, contract expirations. And a couple guys that are – fall 2021 seems to be a few guys that are coming to an end. I know your boy Sami Zayn signed a 3-year deal in 2018, which ends in fall of 2021. Street Profits end in December 2021. Shelton Benjamin 2021. Anyone else that makes sense? No, there's not. I mean, as far as what they have listed here, no one really big ending this year that they'd have to, like, compensate for. All the big guys are through 2023, 2022.
So they got a lot of those guys in the fold then.
Yeah. I mean, there's not everyone's name is on here either. So, like,
right.
It's not necessarily true. And the big one here, Undertaker 2034.
Yeah, but and you know he's getting paid a pretty good grip, I'm sure.
Yeah, so but yeah, I mean, we're gonna guess every time these releases happen, what is it actually for? Is there a sale coming? We don't know. I don't know. People speculate a lot of things, so it just sucks.
I just can't envision Vince selling. I feel like he would go down with the ship before he had to get to that point. My personal opinion.
I think
the guy's got way too much pride. Way too much pride.
Yeah, and just seeing a few things, like, a sale doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't, like, still run the show. It just, he doesn't have to deal with all the potential. Like, if it fails, it's like he doesn't lose money. Not fail, but if they start losing money, he's not losing money. He's always going to get paid a certain amount. It's kind of like Dana White.
I guess, yeah, that's fair. Very fair.
Yeah, so I don't know. I would assume if it did get sold, it'd be to a group and not to, like, it wouldn't be like a single person coming and buying them. I think it'd be like a group that kind of just does the deals with the finances and leaves it up to Triple H, Vince, and the family to run.
Right.
Still,
yeah.
He's you know, like, he's made a lot of great decisions as far as making WWE a lot of money, but at the same time, he's kind of backed himself into a corner for content capabilities. You know what I mean? Because of the PG stuff and being on these prominent networks, the envelope can only be pushed so far.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I was a lot of tweets that were very vague tweets that got sent out yesterday. I was almost on the, like, assumption that Keith Lee was getting the cut, and I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised at this point. And I just hope not. We don't know yet. What I know, they're going through some sort of, like, legal battle right now with his name. So it's almost like pointing fingers, like pointing signs, like there's, like, cop trademarking his name or something like that. I saw a link pop up during the week that WWE and Keith Lee are, like, fighting for trademarks for his name. Not a good sign. Yeah. So
we'll that's see. Not good.
Yeah.
Jersey was as big as Keith Lee guy as it was.
I don't get it. it's just crazy. Like, you don't get a talent like that. That's so polarizing.
Huge athletic specimen.
And he spoke so well on the mic, and his theme music, the original, you know how I felt about his original theme music. And the newer version is not bad, but it wasn't the same. I want to bask in the glory always.
Yep.
And it's a missed opportunity. Now, is he hurt right now? I guess so.
I don't know.
Are they saving him for the draft and he's going to go right to SmackDown? I hope so.
Because he had that one tweet. I think we mentioned it. Like, he's like, I want to tell you guys what's happening, but I can't right now. Again, it's not a good sign. He can't tell us.
And his real name is obviously is Keith Lee, right? Like, that's his real life name.
I don't know.
I think it is.
It's possible. I have no idea. I know it's been like his working name for.
It's amazing. Like, Vince would try to take property of someone's real life name. Like, how do you? I mean, what the hell?
That's what he does. He owns John Cena's name.
Yeah, Keith Lee. That's his, according to Wikipedia. It's Keith Lee.
It's wild. Who knows?
I mean, I don't know. To your original question, Nick. I mean, for me, I just think it's. They get into these weird tiffs, right? Where things look really good, profits are good and are going well, and they're just signing a bunch of people, right? And they're just putting a lot of money out there. And then when things kind of turn a different corner, ratings go down for a couple of weeks, stuff's going on, they get like nervous and they're very reactionary.
Yeah. Very quickly. Reactionary is like the best word, like super reactionary, actually.
And I just think, you know, sometimes they don't, I guess, get the temperature of like what's going on in real life. Like right now we have the NHL playoffs. We have NBA playoffs. We have the world opening up again. So
everything's
down.
Going on at the same time.
Yeah, viewership is different now. It's not, you're not going to get those 12, 20 million viewers on a Monday night because there's a DVR. I never watch Raw on Mondays. Never. It's always
It's hard to tune in live all the time. Yeah. If you have, you know what I mean? And we all have, everyone has a life.
Yeah, and if you guys say something in the group chat, all right, I'll pop on really quick. But like, I'm not watching the show from start to finish on a Monday night. I don't do it.
It's tough.
So I just think they
haven't given us a reason to, right? I mean, when we were younger, you knew what to expect. You tuned in religiously. Granted, we were younger with less responsibilities, but they haven't earned that right for us to be tuning in and making something must-see TV live. They haven't done that.
Well, I mean, everyone binges TV. Everyone watches Netflix.
Yeah, 100%.
Everyone's watching Hulu, Disney Plus, Paramount, Peacock. I mean,
many different avenues. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can watch entertainment now wherever you go. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. You had very limited choices. So I think
I watch it in a car on the way to the work. We're in. It's fucking crazy.
So
yeah,
that's my 2 cents for your question.
Thank you.
Yeah, just it was like 5 cents, but
my stuff is really probably worth a dollar at least.
Yeah, say $1.50.
True.
Yeah, just a shitty time. I mean, listen, it's not like they're getting rid of talent and then leaving like empty holes there. They're signing other people, so maybe they just want a refreshing for like this last group of guys that got released. There's replacements there that guys were seeing on NXT show up, and it's not just like a hole left. Like, I don't know, just with the
it's Allison, nice to see them take some chances with these people though. Like,
yeah,
just try something at least sometimes, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you can ask for, but like, it's got to be more than 2 weeks though, you know what I mean? Like, give something a chance to marinate a little bit before you say, all right, this ain't gonna work. And I know it's hard without a crowd to really see and feel what's really going on, but
yeah,
I mean, come on. I mean, these people, I mean, clearly they just sit on Twitter all day and just watch what's going on there and then make the reactionary calls. Yeah. It's just really frustrating.
I don't know. Unfortunately, it's just the way of life currently this past few months with WWE, just what they're doing. So kind of out of our control at this point. Into actual wrestling. We are a week removed from Hell in a Cell. I thought it was fun. Mm-hmm. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no complaints.
Roman didn't show up. He was on Friday. It was like a Hell in a Cell weekend almost. It was a Hell in a Cell match on Friday, Sunday, and then Monday night. Pretty wild. I mean, it was good. It wasn't like a groundbreaking show. Tommy, anything stick out for me from Hell in a Cell? I want to get into the other stuff, but just because we should.
I mean, the main event, you know, Lashley and McIntyre was great, but that finish was kind of weak for me. I mean, it was a roll-up, you know what I mean?
Roll up
kinda, that kind of, you know, killed it for me. But the match overall, I mean, brutal. The guys going back was brutal as anything, but to end on a roll-up, just like, you know, so.
Such a great feud to end on a fucking roll-up. Really disappointing.
Is it like the go-to, like, they didn't want to make Drew look so weak?
Yeah, but then have MVP get involved and have him do something, right? I mean,
tell in a cell, bro. They're locked in the cell.
Yeah, I mean, could have bashed him against the cell, whatever, fall off again or whatever.
A fucking roll up.
Come on, how many times do we have to use that excuse? They don't want to make him look weak. Like, how it's fucking professional wrestling.
What it is, dude. It's what it is.
I know. It's just whatever. A roll up though. Man. Fuck.
Main event of a great pay-per-view, and that's how it goes. Oh, disgusting.
Jerry's Bayley versus Bianca was good. What'd you think?
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it was great. This show to me was like such a solid B show. Like when I watched it, like it was like there wasn't like this groundbreaking, oh my god, this was the pay-per-view, but it wasn't like this wasn't bad. It was so solid of a B to me.
Yeah.
But Bianca and Bayley, I mean, dude, that KOD on the ladder was
that was awesome.
Amazing.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Shout out to the two of them who came up with that spot and taking that spot. Oh my Absolutely. God. Dude, Bianca's it, man.
She's legit.
She's legit. She's a real deal. Awesome. And I know this is not going to be popular with you guys. I thought the Alexa Bliss match was almost unwatchable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know you guys love her. And I mean, obviously, for obvious reasons, they are doing so wrong with her character. Yep. And I mean that in a way that if you can't have Bray on TV, have her literally be the Bray Wyatt. Like everything he was doing, he never manipulated people's mannerisms to do stuff out. Like, don't do that stupid shit. Like, that's not cool. Like, you want to mess with the lights, you want to mess with their head, you want to play mind games. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Hit him with fire and shit Jax, like that is cool, but not that. Yeah.
Dude, having her take over Nia Jax's body, come on, dude. Stupid. There's points of wrestling that we know it's a little bit over the top, then there's that.
Yeah.
Poor Reggie.
Dude, have her wrestle in with the red light on. Have her turn fiend. Like, what was that?
Not good. That's what it was.
I'm sorry, but I know you guys love her. I can't defend it.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not on her though either. So
yeah, it's not.
I don't blame her for a second. It's not her, but it's they can't present that product. That's just shit. Absolute garbage.
It's a waste of her fucking talent. Seriously, as far as like buying into a character and what she's able to portray in her believability aspects, she's incredible. Like, she could be an actress, like a legit one, with what she's able to do, and she's a solid worker. But it's like, they always find a way.
She should have been in a feud with Charlotte. It should have been with Charlotte, mm-hmm. and it would have made so much sense to pull Charlotte away from the main title to kind of, I don't know what the hell they're doing with Rhea Ripley. I don't like this tweener.
And really put a stamp on Alexa and where she can go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. After being gone for so long on top of that.
Yeah, but they hire writers that don't even know the champion's name. So
yeah.
They'll see once fans come back, they ain't going to get a great reaction out of this election. They can't do half the shit they do anyway with the fucking, like, they have to take a step back, and it's going to be because they like a lot of stuff to do pre-production with her, like the transporting and like fucking lights and all this shit. So like, it's going to be a wake up call. Once fans come back with the stuff, they're gonna have to take a toll back on with her character, and the reaction they're going to get from a live crowd ain't going to be good. So it'll be a rude awakening if they think this is going to last. It just sucks for Alexa. We know the talent's there. We know what you can do. And kind of just shake your head and move to the next one, I guess. I don't know. It's tough.
If the crowd starts turning on Alexa, you know it's bad, because I feel like she's got more rope than pretty much anybody at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good.
We'll see. We got a couple weeks left till fans come back, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully,
hang on strong.
Hopefully, but no. To be honest, getting into Raw, I mean, Raw was good this week. I don't know what you guys thought. I thought it was very
enjoyable. It's weirdly enjoyable.
So definitely a big step up, man. It was nice.
You know, like I mentioned earlier, we had the Hell in the Cell between Lashley and Woods, but just further along that storyline, kind of making Kofi really
good for Xavier though too, man. Getting some rub, man, because those guys have been paying their dues for a long time.
Woods is legit. I hope he gets some sort of single run of some sort down the line. The past few months he's been in these singles matches has really been showing up. But there's a lot of Money in the Bank qualifier matches, and I think that's what kind of made the show for me at least a little better. Right now, heading into Money in the Bank from the men's side, which is kind of the show what they showcase more on the show. Riddle, John Morrison, and Ricochet from the Raw side are in the match.
Fantastic.
And then we have a loser's rebuttal. I don't know what the fuck they're giving them. Last chance match. I forget what they're called. Between AJ, Randy Orton, and Drew McIntyre. I mean, that's a fucking triple threat. Wow. That's a main event. That's for the last spot on the Raw side. And then on the men's side, we got KO or Sam. So we have Big E officially, And then KO and Sammy are going next week for the another spot. And then it's going to be 8 spots total. So there's 2 more spots open, probably from the SmackDown side. Right now for the men's, what I wanted to ask you guys, any early predictions for who you think should come out on the men's side for the Money in the Bank? Like what makes sense like for booking and like who should really come out? I'll go with you, NJ3, first.
I mean, is that your question? Is to win the Money in the Bank?
Like, who do you want to see win? Yeah, who do you want to see hold the Money in the Bank? You have to like, I'm not going full prediction, but like, who do you want to see? Who makes the most sense for you to hold the Money in the Bank briefcase?
I think it's Big E. I mean, for me, it just makes the most sense, right? They put him to SmackDown. They broke up the New Day for him to be a single star. You can argue that. I don't think he's kind of, I mean, in my opinion, he hasn't hit that point yet. But what better way than to kind of solidify that than put the Money in the Bank briefcase in his hands, right? Because at least then you know that he can be in and out of the main event storyline until it's time to kind of cash in. I think that just makes the most sense, right? In my opinion, I think that's great. I mean, I'd love to see personally Ricochet, but I know Big E being in that match is probably the guy, and he's never been in a Money in the Bank ladder match before. So what better way to be your first one and actually win the thing? So that's my opinion. And he's got to go to Raw. Even though I know that New Day's on Raw, he's got to go to Raw. Roman Reigns. Got to keep him away from Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I actually see that rumor popping up that Big E might be moving to Raw for the draft, so we'll see what happens. Yeah.
And also, really quick to your Xavier Woods point, yeah. I love Woods, but he'll never get out of Kofi's shadow being in a tag team with him. Well, you know what I mean? Kofi, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's tough because Kofi is getting that rub, and it's great to watch him do it. But when you see Woods get that match, the match was high profile, but you know he's not beating Bobby Lashley.
No.
And you know that Kofi will be the one to stand out of the two of them. And like you said before, Woods is that guy, and he can be great. He just needs that opportunity. But, you know, being third in New Day and now being second in New Day, I don't know, man. It might be time to kind of split them up so we can really show what he can do.
I think so. Bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Any picks for the Money in the Bank who you want to see in the Money in the Bank?
Personally, I love to see Ricochet. I think they could use, if they used him like they used him down in NXT, I think the sky's the limit for him. So, I mean, I doubt it's going to happen. But, man, to get a win over AJ like that, that's got to be big for him, you would think, right? Big,
yeah. Yeah.
So, that's my pick. I doubt it will happen, but it'd be cool to see.
For me, usually there's really like, I kind of like to see heels hold the Money in the Bank. I think it works out better for them. And not that it won't for a babyface, but like, I feel like, and I know Noodle's going to love this, I feel like Sammy somehow gets in the match and holds that Money in the Bank. I think he'd be perfect for it in my eyes. But, Noodles, anyone that sticks out to you want to hold?
Sammy would be perfect to have the briefcase, and when he cashes in, to lose.
Or like Ricochet, if Ricochet had it, it's like we've seen like CM Punk in the past cash in as a babyface, but turn heel in the match, like kind of like do it in like a Weasley way. Maybe Ricochet that character change to turn heel. That would be good for him. Big E,
I'd be totally really cool with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind Riddle too, man. I'm a big Riddle guy. I love Riddle. He had a huge win over Drew. I mean, come on, man. That's pretty damn impressive. But I do agree wholeheartedly with Jersey. I think Big E would probably make the most sense because you can go a multitude of different ways with his character. You know, he can go heel, he can be face. And, you know, the believability factor, obviously, right? I mean, doesn't get much more believable than the dominance that Big E can bring to the table.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. I would actually prefer Big E to win. And like Jersey was saying too, you know, they're trying to make this guy a big, big single star. What better way to do it than, you know, to have him have it and then use it whenever he feels fit, pretty much.
Going into this, from what we're seeing right now, and I think I've said this maybe a couple of years ago, this is one of the more higher profile Money in the Bank matches we've had in a long time, I think. You got a lot of big names in there, a lot of guys that could win. And
that could get a major push out of it, which
is nice. So a lot of deserving Riddle, Big E, Ricochet. I mean, a couple of guys just named right there, just like that could really benefit off holding this briefcase and changing their career. So it's exciting to see where they still have a couple spots left. So see who else gets it. And I don't know, I'm pretty stoked. The women's, you only have 8 women in the roster anyway, so they're all going to get in. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it, to be honest. Yeah, so we'll save that for another time.
You only have eight women. That's good.
Yeah. So, I hate to stick on New Jersey. So I know I don't want to bring up a little
go ahead,
bad
man.
Eva Marie on Raw and
fucking ridiculous.
We had a name drop, no pun intended. Dewdrop. Yeah. So
that's a duty. That's a whole lot of storyline is fucking duty. That's a duty.
Possibly the worst name change in history of fucking wrestling.
There's been some doozies.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I think I texted you guys this, but like when the name change itself, she was trying to say her name is Piper. You could see it. She was like mouthing Piper Niven, and then Eva's like, "No, we'll call you Dewdrop," kind of like that. So
what the fuck does that even mean, though?
I don't know.
That doesn't sound intimidating. That doesn't sound cool. That's fucking retarded.
Yeah. So that turned into their tag match, which Dewdrop kind of almost like turned on Eva the first night they had a match together. Very confusing. Is she gonna drop the name? I have no idea. NJ3, I'm gonna hit you with a double question here.
Sure, man.
We had Eva Marie and Dewdrop, right? And then we had Nikki Cross in the same night debut her superhero gimmick. The right direction you want to see in the change. I mean, we want change in the women's division, right? Is this the direction you want to see going?
you know what it is? I don't like to Right, I bashed the Eva Marie debut the first week it happened, but I was hoping that they would give us some sort of explanation the week after. They were backstage. I'm happy that there was some sort of interview backstage to kind of just provide a little bit more context around it, but they still missed. They still missed. Like, what's the origin of Dewdrop? What does that mean? Like, what is that? Also, you have this huge thing go on for how many months do we watch these vignettes? To see her get rolled up, to see them split up on the second time. I mean, that's not give Divas a chance. That's just fucking blow it up. Yeah. Like, that's what that is. I mean, I how do you explain that? Like, where do you go from here? Now, I know that she's on the alumni page, Eva Marie, but she's also come out and says, don't read into the fake news. So if you follow her on Instagram and Twitter, go ahead.
I think that was a mistake. I think because she's on the Raw roster page as well, so it's not just so I don't know.
Well, how do they make fucking stupid mistakes like that too? On top of this, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just shows the fucking dysfunction that goes on in this fucking company every fucking day.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not acceptable. I'm sorry. Something as minuscule as that is fucking retarded.
Yeah,
that should never happen.
Yeah,
never.
So that's just really confusing. And the whole Nikki Cross thing, now we're hearing that this was her thing, right? What threw me off is that Nikki Cross first debuted as like Sanity, right? She had the Sanity music. It was Nikki Cross.
Sanity was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're all gone.
I know, but it was fucking awesome.
Just sad. So she was Sanity, and then she was the best friend of Alexa Bliss. Then she had country music, but was still dressed as Sanity. Then she kind of changed her outfit a little bit with the country music. And now it's Super Nikki, the female hurricane, the tornado, the make-a-wish hero. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, I respect the fact that she wants to have this quote-unquote, I don't know, coming out of... What does she even say? Like, I don't even know what she even explained that, why she turned to this character of like faith and you can do anything, and that's fine, but you don't need to do it dressed as a superhero. Like, you can do it being dressed as she was with the country thing and just have her speak in those ways. I think that unfortunately, no matter how good the storyline is going to be, she's not going to be taken seriously dressed as she is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, Hurricane Helms, like, it's funny, it's great, but you'll never take him to be a serious, credible champion. Yeah. Nikki Cross will never win a singles championship dressed and in that persona. She just won't.
Do you think she would have in the other gimmick though? Because my personal opinion, I think any change. I wasn't really on board with Nikki Cross with what she was doing. I wasn't like invested in her.
No.
So I'm not saying this change is what I was looking in, like, envisioning, but like, I think it's a shot in the dark, and if maybe she's kind of like, and no one should be content with it, but like, she's at a point where she's like, all right, they're never going to give me the strap. I might as well just take what I try to change it up, because apparently this is her idea. She presented this and
they gave it her a shot with it. So I guess in a way that's kind of cool, but
I think it's, you look at like the comedy acts of WWE, and like, I mean, they don't last forever, but like they also could, she wants to make money while she can, or try to get over in a different way. Fans are coming back soon. She might play with the younger crowd and just kind of get over in that sense. I mean, it's, you, sometimes you got to reach for the star. Like, that's kind of corny to say, but like reach for whatever.
Plausible. Very plausible.
And I mean, she's a great worker, and I respect if that was her decision to go for that and they kind of put their fingerprints on it just to make it a little different. But
yeah, but creative also has to, I mean, and I hear that, but creative also has to kind of come in and be like, hey, listen, let's level set with you. We can do this, but we can't do it dressing you up like this. Like, there has to be that kind of give and take,
it's
right?
Been done,
like,
it's been done before, she can, right? Exactly. You've seen it a million times.
She can make a really nice career and a living out of being this persona, doing all the Make-A-Wish stuff, doing all the PSAs and stuff like that. You can do all that kind of stuff. That's great. You hug the kids, kiss them on the forehead, give them the fucking glasses, whatever you want. But at the end of the day, there's got to be like the both, right? If it's her idea to do this, creative's got to step in and also be like, hey, listen, let's do it this way. This with this, not this.
Well, that's where I think like creative, I bet you she brought something a lot different than they made her dress up in that fucking outfit. That's where I'm thinking like that.
Oh, yeah. How do you accept that,
though? I don't know. It's interesting.
Crazy Nikki was the best, man.
Yeah, like original Sanity Nikki, that's where I'm at. Yeah. Like, she,
because that's a believable person that could win a title, you know, and have a run with it a little bit, you know what I mean? Because she's kind of like the crazy Mick Foley, Mankind back in the day, female version.
That's just the case of her leaving NXT and going to main roster. I think that's like, I mean, it's just almost like a given at this point. We lost that
career, careers get ruined.
Out. Yeah, so whatever. That was Ross.
Getting promoted to the main roster, Joey, is like, it's the equivalent of you picking your next guy in line. You know, it's like a career killer.
Yeah, right.
your next the guy.
You know what's so funny too? Like, I was just thinking this week before yesterday how much I loved Ever-Rise too, and then that happened. So I think it's kind of,
stop thinking about anybody.
I didn't even say it out loud. I thought I was thinking it.
Yeah, don't think.
Wait till Bray gets released before Christmas.
Right, he's gonna get released on Christmas. All right, whatever. NXT was fun this week. We finally got Diamond Mine, boys. I think something we were all in speculation of for the past however long they've been showing this stuff. Bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Roddy Strong.
Yeah.
He's back.
Yes, he is.
Looking good. Yeah. he aligned himself with Tyler Rust, another guy I'm not aware of. I don't know his name. I've seen him in like on – like when they signed one of the Asian wrestlers they picked up, and my boy
Becky, I think it is something.
Okay. Malcolm Bivens,
perfect mouthpiece for that group. Perfect.
Yeah. Now, Roddy's aligned with another faction. I think this is perfect. I think we were worried when Roddy left the UE. He's not a great. We expressed it. He's not great on the mic. Mm-hmm. He got his mouthpiece. He's not great as a solo guy. He got his faction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back on board. I'm okay with where Roddy is right now.
he'll be released next week.
Yeah. Well, his wife was.
They'll break up by the end of the month, guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah.
Marina Shafir was one of the ones released. That's his wife. So I mean, you never know. But yeah, Tom, just thoughts on Diamond Mine being what it is. I mean, people were speculating it was like a Raw Underground type or a. We didn't know. We had no idea what it was, but now we got the visual. What do you think?
No, I mean, from right now, I'm on board. I mean, obviously, it happened at the end of the show, so we didn't know what, you know, what it's all about. So I'm sure this week they'll come out and say, you know, what the whole thing's about. But no, I mean, definitely on board. And like you said, Bivens is the mouthpiece. It's going to be awesome. Like you said, because Roddy can't talk, so, but he can wrestle.
Sure can.
So, no, it should be fine. I'm just curious to see who they're going to go up against. Maybe like Hit Row or wherever. But no, it's good. Should be good. And I'm just excited to see where it's going to go.
Yeah, definitely. I'm stoked. Roddy looked good. Shaved his head. He looks a little different. There's another thing that popped up, Jers NJ3. This battery charging icon keeps popping up.
Yes, and I was actually was hoping we were going to talk about this.
Yeah, because it popped up last week or 2 weeks ago, and it was just like at 1%, went up to like 10%. Last week, I believe it hit like 30%. I have no idea what this is, and I don't know if there's been any like dirt sheet stuff about it. I haven't seen anything. No one really knows. It's kind of like how Diamond Mine was like leading up to it. We didn't know. I thought they were hand in hand, to be honest. I thought that was like the battery charging was like leading up. Once it got to 100, they would show up, whatever. But it's not. So do we have any inkling of what this could be?
To be quite honest, I was really wrestling with this all week, and I was kind of trying to come up with something really good for today's show, and I got nothing.
It's crazy.
I really don't know who this could be and who this person or persons or man, woman, unidentified gender, whatever.
Or what?
You think it's definitely a return, though, Jers? Do you think it's definitely someone returning?
I don't know if it's a return or a debut. I feel like it's got to be a debut.
I saw a rumor that who it could be. I mean, it just, you know, they have a thing, who the people want it to be and what it might be. People think it might be Keith Lee going back at NXT. Okay. That's one thing I saw, but they're saying the reality might be what's her name, Tegan Knox. So I don't know. That's the only thing I've seen about it. So I don't know. Like it's like completely rumor, nothing. You know, obviously.
Not that I like Tegan. I like Tegan. I just
love
don't,
Tegan, but
I don't know if the battery thing would be.
I know that's yeah. So
it's like wasting the.
I know that Tom, you're delivering the news. Bad or good or bad in that case.
Indifferent.
I don't know about that one, but hey.
Not me. Yeah. I mean, whatever. But.
Maybe it's going to be something as silly as like, battery would charge 100% when we get full capacity crowd. Something simple as that. You know what I mean? We could be overthinking this completely.
That's a great point. I honestly thought it was like a battery charging to like maybe a new arena or something like we don't even know.
Yeah.
It could be something simple as that. I just thought it was odd that they've been pressing this Diamond Mine thing and the battery kind of at the same time. So like usually they kind of like you let one go and then you start like a new one up. But like to have them both go at the same time is kind of weird. So
I'm thinking fully charged means like full crowd, the energy in the arenas are legit. I think it might be that simple. But again, any return or debut would be pretty cool with me if it's done properly. Obviously, it's always cool.
Noodles, let me be honest with you. You drop some stupid shit sometimes. That actually made sense what you just said. So I'm actually proud.
Thanks, man.
Wow, drop some stupid shit.
But maybe you should drink. Maybe you should double up your nerd focus. Really mix all three flavors together.
I got green, blue, and vodka today. So I thought it was
good for you.
No, I'm just kidding. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. yeah, I'm excited to see what this is. I like having NXT delivers on all aspects, I said every week, quality of matches, storylines, and they give us like these little speculation things like the weird video packages that we're unsure of, and that's something that's missed today in all of wrestling. So good to see NXT kind of keeping up with that stuff. Kind of sticking along with NXT. We had mentioned last week and Karrion Kross and Bronson Reed did a dark match before SmackDown. Some would say it's a tryout for the main roster. Questions, obviously. Why aren't just watch the show? Whatever. Now, on video, Karrion Kross and Bronson Reed had matches on Main Event. You could watch it on the network if you want. I don't know if you want to, though.
Yeah.
Because this guy, Karrion, came out looking like a fucking creator wrestler. I mean, he had his gear on, but it's just like that entrance was not the entrance. No Scarlet.
No smoke. No nothing.
No nothing. It was nothing. I know, granted, it's Main Event. Production isn't there, but why even put him on TV? You know what I mean? Kind
of. I agree. It's a waste of fucking everybody's time, honestly. Yeah. And all it does is devalue the greatness of someone's character. Yeah. It's really all it does.
Now, we got to assume at this point, and hopefully we're not making an ass out of you and me, but if he did debut on the main roster, he would have the entrance. He would have,
We would like to hope that
is it possible that Noodles, I'll just think of you because you're talking. Is it possible that it could not happen where they bring up Bronson Reed? I didn't get to see that. No one made a big deal about Bronson Reed, so I'm assuming it was just normal, what we normally see. But is it possible Kross comes up, no entrance, no Scarlet?
Sure, hell hope not. And honestly, if they did, it wouldn't surprise me because they do this shit all the time. Every stud that they have down in NXT that they pretty much bring up to graduate gets lost in the shuffle. They don't do them. They do their characters a disservice. I'm tired of the fact that like they, NXT is so big and so popular and is literally a legitimate show. And they pretend like it's nothing. They pretend like it doesn't even matter when they get up to the main roster. Like everything that they did there means jack shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of that. And I'm sure we could all agree on the same thing, that they've devalued their everything they've accomplished and all their abilities from NXT. And it's like they come up and they have to start over like they're jobbers. It's bullshit. Like what they did to Keith Lee was a disgrace, absolute disgrace. And it's like the only person I feel like that's ever went from NXT and went right to the show was fucking Kevin Owens. The only one they ever did right with, for the most part. Karrion Kross, if he gets brought up and goes to the main roster, he should be in the fucking title picture right off the gate.
I like it.
It won't happen. But it won't happen. He'll be fucking generic number 14 on your fucking creative character on the new video game. It's bullshit. We all know it. We all know it's coming. Jersey, I could bet you know it's coming.
After that, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, before seeing the main event thing, I was hopeful that he would be just brought right up and like nothing's changed. I thought they would look at him and
see. That's what should happen. Yeah. That's what should happen. It's like you're like treating people like they're stupid, that to completely disregard how awesome someone is and dominating NXT, which is clearly the best wrestling in the world. The guy's the best character, the most dominant champion. And he's going to come up and he's going to be a mid-carder. Like, he's got to prove his stripes again. The fuck's the point?
I'm just going to choose not to watch that main event. Even though I know it's there, I'm going to choose not to because I don't want to upset myself.
Yeah. He got the win over Shelton.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
But I'd love to know how the announcement went for, who is this new guy? Karrion Kross?
Yeah.
Like, What are they? Did he bring it? Did he bring his belt out at least? Or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, he had the belt.
They had the image of his name. It was an NXT champion. Like they acknowledged it, and he had his
I don't like it.
He had his
like
his gladiator skirt on, whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure. Like the dress, the little thing he wears. whatever. But
I didn't see it, Joe. Did he finish off Shelton Benjamin inside 3 minutes? Because he should have.
I didn't watch the match. I just saw the entrance. Yeah, it was very. It was they played his music.
No disrespect to Shelton, but
yeah,
he should have. So as we were talking,
Aleister Black all over again,
dude. I just was about to say something. It just came to mind as Noodles was talking. This is just a crazy speculation. Do you think we're gonna go back to releases quick? Aleister Black got released, right? Do you think he got released in one of the reasons being is that they see this guy Karrion Kross, very similar gimmick in NXT, and they see more in hope in him. Not that I'm saying they should, but they
more stock in him.
More stock in him, and that's why they let go of Aleister. They don't want two of the same on the main roster. Is that a possibility?
It's not. Absolutely. Absolutely is. It's not off base to think like that because they don't, that's their biggest thing. You don't want to pay the same money for the same person. Right? But I, in my opinion, even though they have like that dark-ish character, I feel like they couldn't be any more different. They wrestle totally differently. They look different, even though what is it, just tattoos and like dark gimmick? That's where they kind of have their I think that's where the comparison stops.
Yeah,
like maybe, dude, I remember watching NXT
like the same eeriness, but like
you switch it up for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. But dude, think about back to those NXT takeovers with Aleister Black, and think about what Kross does at takeovers. I mean, I mean, listen, your thought spot on. I think you hit on the head, but just my opinion is I just as a fan, I feel like they couldn't be any more different.
Yeah.
I love Karrion Kross as much as all you guys, but let's be honest. I mean, as far as talent as in the ring wrestler, Aleister Black is better.
Yeah.
He has more capability. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Kross is a monster and Kross is great at what he does. Don't get me wrong, but to be able to have the ability to do different things, Aleister Black is the guy.
Yeah.
What a missed opportunity.
Oh, what a miss.
Disgusting. They're fucking disgusting. They strike out all the time, bro. They're like the Mets.
Aren't you in first place, though? You guys are in first place?
Yeah, but they fucking struck out 10 times in a row yesterday, bro. Yeah, 10 bro. Times, tying a major league record. And it should have been 11. The fact that the guy let Alonso hit the ball is fucking putrid.
Substances, bro. Substance spin rate.
Oh, fucking ridiculous. I was hot yesterday. I was there, too.
Nice. Were you at the? Were you in Tampa with the Islanders lost in Game 7?
Shit.
Oh, that was a tough one.
Let New York down again. What do you know? Sons of bitches.
At least we made it. How'd your Rangers do this year, bro?
Rebuild.
Whoa.
Rebuild.
Yeah, rebuild. All rebuild. Right.
They say, been saying rebuild for, a while.
two years. What are you talking about?
Yeah, whatever.
20. It's not. I'm sorry. It's not as long as the 25-year rebuild for the Islanders.
Yeah, look what the Islanders had to deal with for the last 25. We finally got.
Dude, it's like Carmelo Hayes and Adam Cole right here on the podcast. Tommy just hit you with that slap.
Ruthless aggression.
Aggression.
Exactly.
Love the shout out to Carmelo Hayes. It was a great match. Just moving along here. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but SmackDown last night, Friday night, boys. Edge is back. Noodles,
that's a big one.
Your boy Edge is back.
Big return.
Taking spots from the younger guys. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I'm certain guys you have to be okay with when that happens, though. You know what I mean? Let's be honest.
Edge is one of them. Safe to say, I think me and Tommy talked about it before we got on here. Edge is lined up next for Money in the Bank, or the a next title shot for Roman. Obviously, it's written right there. A lot of people jumping the gun, rightfully so, and saying that this is a perfect setup for Seth to be he would ruin Edge's opportunity during that match to have their feud start and then go forward to SummerSlam and then Roman to, which I think it's kind of like makes the most sense.
It'd be awesome. Yeah.
A lot of people, when I came home last night from work, I was on Twitter. I saw everyone saying that. So it was like very a consensus. It's as predictable as it could be. It just makes the most fucking sense. Right. I think it's.
Dude, Seth Rollins Edge would be insane.
Amazing.
Okay, awesome.
Dude, the lead up. I just got chills thinking about it at SummerSlam with all the fans there. Oof.
Yeah. So I know we had Roman versus Edge already in the triple threat. Daniel Bryan ruined that. Just kidding. but now we're almost assuming we're going to get Edge versus Roman one-on-one. I think it's great. I think it's great. It puts another stone in Roman's fucking, his gauntlet, whatever you want to call the Thanos
thing,
right?
His infinity gauntlet.
He's got to start wearing two gloves soon, right? So, I mean, eventually it's going to happen. But I was watching SmackDown last night. I know we can't always watch it live, so we have to watch clips. But it was the end of SmackDown, and Heyman was leading up to, like, saying no one else is left. And, like, Roman was going to do something. I didn't know what was going to happen. Then Edge came out. So he's like, we have no other choice but to, and then Edge came out. So I don't know what they meant by that. Were they teasing something? They were just kind of just leading up to Edge coming out after.
Yeah, probably that.
But just say Edge, like after Edge, right? They're going to have this promo again. And then I thought Cena was going to come out last night. I'm not going to lie to you. Or he was going to call out John Cena last night. I thought that was going to be the thing. But I don't know.
He told him to stay away, bro. They're taking his advice.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just hyped. I mean, we got fans back in a couple weeks. Roman versus Edge is like, that's money for me. I know we already saw the lead up with the money with the WrestleMania thing, but Edge wasn't really the main part of it. We had Daniel Bryan come in, which is fine. But I think we finally got the true build up to an Edge Roman match. I'm really excited for it. I don't know. I'm stoked. I can't wait for fans to be back. I know a lot of questions this week with Karrion Kross, the releases, the women on Raw. There's still questions we have with WWE, but like my excitement level for the future of the summer, at least, is at a high. I think.
Roman's always there to save the day to keep us in it. I'll tell you that because everything that's gone on with him over the last year has just been ridiculously amazing.
Yeah, I can't. We can't preface enough how much he's holding this company together right now, dude. It's insane.
And Heyman, I mean, with Heyman too. I mean, it's just, it's special. It really is.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time and we praise it, but I don't know if it will fully get its real due for years down the line to really appreciate how unbelievably special we're watching something right now.
Yeah. And also while we get Heyman and Roman, we also have Pat McAfee on the commentary.
Oh, well.
I mean, guys, just fucking.
Dude, did you see me that they're in the Boogs? The coronation of Shinsuke as the king of WWE. What he was doing on the stage, and oh my god! I mean, on the announcer table,
bro.
He's hysterical. Living he is game, hysterical.
Yep. Hysterical. The best.
Hysterical.
It doesn't what that guy is capable of doing with a microphone is just remarkable. It really is, man. The personality he brings to the table, a very gifted human being. Seriously.
Yeah, he's I feel like I've heard on like multiple podcasts and multiple like things, like people were warming up to him a lot, like people that weren't beforehand. And I could have sworn I heard someone say he could be like, he can go down like people are comparing him to like a lot of people already. So like, I mean, give him more time. I think he'd be one of the better announcers. Like I look forward to SmackDown. When you look forward to watching SmackDown to hear an announcer, that's a, for me at least, that's a good sign, bro. I think it's like wild. I'm a big McAfee guy before he even signed with WWE. So like,
oh yeah, same. But
so I'm kind of biased in that sense. But I think just from what we've seen him do from NXT to SmackDown, dude's gold, bro. And I don't know. Hopefully one day we get Adam Cole on the main roster and they can somehow bring that back to life, and their little feud they had in NXT. I think that's like a perfect segue for that. But that's, we got some time, I think, for Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts before we wrap up here, boys? Wrestling, we had ups and downs as usual. I think with WWE, we have Dynamite's tonight on Saturday. Jungle Boy versus Kenny Omega for the championship. Any hope
Jungle
for
Boy? Jungle Boy.
No, he's not going to win. Any chance? No.
I mean, listen, I don't think he's going to win, but I just can't wait to hear the theme music. I love hearing it.
How does it go? Yes.
I'm not good at that one. I'm not going to try it.
All I know is I'm incredibly, incredibly jealous of Jungle Boy being able to lay in the same bed as Britt Baker. That's all I know.
Oh, I saw that picture. It was great. What
up? For him.
it could have been you if you drank Norfolk was earlier in life.
Maybe. I'm about the same size as Jungle Boy.
was there any other matches announced? Do we know? I think, is the TNT Championship on the line? No, it's not. Wait, hold on.
I don't know.
All right, whatever. It's no here, no there.
Either way, Dynamite is tonight. Jungle Boy, Omega, main event.
That's the biggest match there. Saturday Night Dynamite. I'm about that. I'll watch.
That's cool.
I'll check it out. Yeah. Before we wrap up here, MVPs of the week. Last week we had a little flop. Tommy kind of messed that up. But it's all right.
I don't know how Tommy did that, but
it's all right. We're not going to try that again.
No,
Tommy.
It didn't work out
Tommy,
well.
You'll have to go first this week. Noodles is off the
hook. This week, I mean, God. I'm gonna say the debut of Diamond Mine.
Perfect. Love it.
Solid answer, Thomas.
Chef's very kiss. Solid. Chef's kiss. NJ3, MVP of the week.
I'm going to go with Ricochet being in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Mm-hmm. Ricochet, this match, it's absolutely perfect for him. We're going to see great spots. The match is forming very nicely. So
Ricochet being in the match. Beat AJ Styles, bro.
That is big. Shucky ducky. It is good.
And Nikki Noodles, MVP of the week. Welcome back.
I got two, man. I got
can't do that.
Co-MVPs. I got co-MVPs, man. I got Riddle beating Drew McIntyre. And I got Liv Morgan with a monster win over Carmella. Hopefully she's, you know, somebody that her or like Mandy Rose gets a big opportunity here with the female Money in the Bank, because they need some fresh blood. They blew it with Eva Marie because that should have been the hands down winner of that. But however, I digress.
Yeah, we'll stick off that. I'm gonna double down with you on Riddle. I think.
Drew McIntyre, bro, it's fucking crazy.
It's huge. First of all,
clean.
His body of work for what he's been doing lately. I think he's never had one bad match on the main roster.
No, think about all the people he's slayed during this time, bro. AJ Styles when he first started coming up, Daniel Bryan, mm-hmm. Now Drew. I mean, what? This is ridiculous. Now.
So I posed the question.
Beat Lashley.
Yeah, huge. I posed the question to the president of Paper Champion this week via text. I want to ask you guys this before we head off. Can Matt Riddle be a champion? Be a heavyweight champion? The certain gimmick that he's running now, the scooter riding, happy go lucky, like ditzy kind of character, but also once that ring bell, the bell rings,
he's a different breed.
He's a different breed. I think this character, while being different and kind of quirky, I think as champion could be almost like different but perfect at the same time. What do you think that's like? Do we see him as a heavyweight champion down the line?
I'll take it. I'll go
whatever. Just stay.
I think he can be. I think he will be the champion. I just don't know the staying power of that character for like a long title run. With that ability, just because we haven't really seen how the fans are going to react to that. Can it get boring quick? You know what I mean? Cause he does play kind of like a how high kind of like silly guy or whatever, but he will get his opportunity to prove it one way or another. Cause he will be a champion sooner rather than later.
Yeah. I think like his work is like the ultimate baby face, man. I think it just kind of,
it's killer in the ring. He's top five.
Great, love it.
Wow, that's a stamp of approval right there. I mean, I'll go next. I mean, yeah. I think everything that they've given him so far, I think he's run with it huge, right? The whole stoner funny gimmick thing, it's been hysterical backstage. He was a former U.S. champion. He lost the title to Sheamus. I mean, you don't put your head down for that. Sheamus,
a legend.
And you pair him up with the probably most unlikely person on the entire roster, Randy Orton, and it works, and it works well, and it's funny. I mean, it seems to be everything they're trying with him is succeeding. So what better way to try something else and putting the belt on him at some point? You have to create stars eventually, right? Yeah. We know the name Drew McIntyre. We know the name Bobby Lashley. And these other AJ Styles, right?
It's a safe zone.
But it's very safe. But what better way to try something, even for a short run, even a transitional champion, than someone like Riddle? I think it's something that you can't go wrong with because the fans are not going to hate it.
Yeah,
you might hate it as you being you suck at your job, Vince McMahon, and creative writing. But the fans are going to embrace it. So merch will sell, and you'll get that pop.
You could always go back to those guys, right? In a pinch, right? If you have to take a title off somebody where it didn't really pan out, but you could always, the risk to take it and give somebody an opportunity to become a champion is always should be on the table when you have that many star powers that can take it off if it's not working. You know what I mean? And you could always go back to that cycle. Bring it back. You know what I mean? If they choose to do that.
And Noodles, you said before like how there's been like a hand, like you can put on one hand how many guys they've brought up from NXT that they've done right. I think Riddle is one of those guys, along with KO.
Yeah, those are clearly two of the best ones that they've done. And they've botched, butchered, and destroyed many of great ones.
Yeah, but I just figured I just decided that Riddle's been treated right.
You're right. I totally forgot about that.
So episode 61, boys. A little tangent at the end, but Matt Riddle's we're a big fan of Matt Riddle, so shout out to him. Like I said earlier, find us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, anywhere you can download podcasts. Nerd Focus, link in the bio on our social medias. Code ND20 at checkout for 20% off. And everyone, as always, take care, stay safe, watch pro wrestling.